Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Welcome to the show. Let's begin with our Patreon member shout-outs. Our project members, the legends Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fada, and Tony Zane. Our mug members include G-Money and Marcus Von B. And some love going the way of our Jimbotron members. That includes David Johnson, David Michaud, Jason Doerr, Renee Brindamore, Ryan Lett, and Graham Ramstead. Real sorry to hear about your dad, Graham.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Right then, ladies and gentlemen, it is another episode. Episode of the SWP. It's all about sports and whatever. The Steve Warren Project. However you like it, it's all good. Glad to have you back once again. Coming up today, got lots that that we want to dig our teeth into today. But we'll hold off for now. It's all going to be a big surprise. All a big secret. James, how are you today?
Stevie, I'm good, man. Yep.
Excellent.
Yep. Top shelf. Stevie, I'm good. My Oilers are back on track. Mm-hmm. Okay, they went a couple in a row. I don't think we talked about this. So McDavid hadn't scored in 10 games. Okay. In the meantime, he's got 23 assists or something, okay? So they interview him, I guess, before last night's game. They interview him after two games ago where he didn't score again. Did you see the interview?
I did not.
So they've stuffed the mic in his face, right? And they go, I guess, Connor, it's becoming, 10 games now that – you haven't scored a goal, and I wonder if you would comment on that. And he says, yeah, I don't want to score goals anymore. I just want to, I'm just out to get a bunch of assists.
That's funny.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Anyway, he pops the big one in overtime last night to break a streak, but he's like, yeah, I'm not trying to score any goals. Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. That's why.
He's gotten a lot more comfortable behind a microphone, man. He was... With so all due respect, shy. He's a kid. I don't want to bury a kid who's shy behind a microphone. He's there to play hockey. I get that. But, there's your typical shy. And then there was Connor McDavid shy. Yeah. And he does seem to be coming out of his shell a little bit. And from an assist standpoint, I don't know if you saw this stat that I sent you. He is about to become just the fourth guy to get 100 assists in a season.
Is that right? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good company. Gretzky or Lemieux. Boom. Those are the only guys who've ever had 100 assists in a single NHL season. I did not know that stat.
You said he's become the fourth guy or third guy?
He'll become the fourth guy. Gretzky, Lemieux, or. Boom.
Bobby Orr. Okay.
You mean Orr as in and or?
I took it as Gretzky, Lemieux, or Connor.
What? Bobby Orr. You remember him?
I remember Bobby.
Yep. Sure, you do.
Up a little dust in the 70s there.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's a great story for sure. Certainly some sad news out of the gate. Just before we flip the mic on, former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney passed away at the age of 84. And I was thinking maybe through all the parties that your dad and the family had, I mean, I don't know, did they sort of run alongside of each other at any point in political history?
Yeah, I remember, as everyone knows, I'm a hill baby, as they call them, Steve, those of us who grew up on Parliament Hill. And I met his kid. They're younger than me. They're not a full generation behind, but I'll tell you what. I loved Mila.
She seemed great.
Well, she was the best looking prime minister's wife ever. Better than Margaret.
I'm going to say that the current, though I'm not sure if their marital status is these days.
Yeah.
I would put a vote in.
Oh,
for
she?
Her.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Justin's wife.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sophie.
She disappeared.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Divorce will do that. You drop out of sight.
Yeah. I just the times have changed since we were 21, right, where we could just openly talk about these things, and just saying if someone's beautiful or not makes me feel uncomfortable now. Which is such a what a weird place to be in when, you know, regard whatever your sexuality is, you're going to look at other people and you're going to say, that's a beautiful person. And I wonder when we got away from that being so offensive.
Yeah, I'll tell you when. Recently, I don't know if I mentioned this on the other show. I did. I got fired for, or not invited back the following year. I was emceeing a gig, handing out prizes. It was a golf tournament, charity tournament for the Edmonton Oil Kings alumni. And a lady won, and she was walking up, and I said, look at you, you little hottie. Yeah, see ya. Jimmy,
wow.
Got the phone call from the guys like, Jimmy, it sounds like the guy from TSN, Steve, when he said we can't do the gig. He's like, sorry, Jimmy, a sponsor kicked up some stink.
Yeah.
Saying you were way too risque. Really? That was risque?
Yeah. And ironically, the TSN puppets replaced you the next year. That's nice.
Yeah, I would say, Steve, in the days of Plowable, who's the news girl, Stevie? And I used to say, I want to lick her neck.
I'm afraid to say it out loud. You got me in trouble with that once before the only time you and I ever got a talking to was when we're walking around in the hallway.
Yeah.
And there was an employee of the radio station.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And we talked respectfully and everything. And then we got on the air and then he said, Stevie, who's the blah, 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 blah?
Oh, right. In the newsroom. Yes.
Yeah. And then I made the stupid error of giving the name of the person, and that person was not very happy that, you had called out in a very positive way. Like, you're a big fan. You were a big fan of what you had seen that day.
I want to say the word rack somewhere came into that.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Look at us tiptoe around this. I can't believe I'm nervous. Yeah, well. By the way, Stevie, if you're in live in Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
which I suspect a lot of you do with the Ottawa podcast you're listening to.
Exactly.
I'm back to do Shroomfest.
Oh, good.
In May.
Has that already been a year? That feels like about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, no, it's already been a year.
That's crazy.
And let me just give the date so I don't sound like a moron. May 3rd. The reason I bring it up, Stevie, is not self-promotion so much as self-promotion. that this one, Stevie, is Lock the Doors. Okay? Lock the Doors. There's about 600 guys, mostly. And anything goes, my friend. When they handed me the contract and said, listen, Jimmy, anything goes. I said, fuck, I might do this gig for free, man. Okay, I'm
right.
Right. So make your way over to Shroomfest in Metcalf, May 3rd. And we'll bring you back to the glory days, Stevie.
Keep in mind, James, it only takes one person with one of them thar cellular phones which are connected to that internet machine.
What?
Just I still say step calm.
You know what, Stevie? You know what? Everybody bring your cell phone, okay? Oh, light it up.
Okay.
As the guy said on Suits, Stevie, you're about to get lit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well.
There's no holdback.
Okay, well, that's entirely your call. Godspeed to you and the good folks at Shroomfest in Metcalf coming up in May. The other passing that I wanted to mention was Richard Lewis. I'm a big, big, big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan with Larry David.
Right.
I never thought anything could touch Seinfeld. And then the more I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, the more I realized that Larry David was at least as much to credit for Seinfeld's success as Jerry Seinfeld himself. Just a phenomenal talent. And one of his oldest friends, Larry David's I'm talking about, is Richard Lewis.
Right. And he was a regular on the Curb Your Enthusiasm show. And I just saw him in, I was just watching the latest, the final season, episode 3. And Richard Lewis, ironically enough, was talking to Larry about putting him in his will. And they're talking about death and what's happening. And sadly, Richard Lewis in real life passes away this week. And he'd been dealing with Parkinson's for a while. And you said you met him one time, right?
I met him. I was doing hosting a gig, a weekly gig at a bar in Edmonton, kind of on an off night, like Tuesday nights or something like that. And we're just sitting around and it was mostly a music thing, but sort of an open mic. So it was guys playing music, some guys doing stand up. And, anyway, I looked out and he walked. He was in Edmonton. I think he had a band too, Stevie.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken. You know, he may, you know, more likely he was in town to do a stand up gig or something, but you know, it's interesting, Stevie, you bring that up right after we had the discussion about politically incorrect stuff on the radio and the one I got fired from and Metcalf and all this stuff and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Richard Lewis had his own show too for a while.
Anything But Love with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right. And Stevie, you know what? So here's the deal. So everyone's more sensitive now. You know, if you look back at Cheers and Seinfeld came a little after, Curb Your Enthusiasm, South Park, right? All that South Park, I think, still survive. But everyone keeps referring to those shows, Stevie, today.
Right.
Because there's nothing like it that's on TV anymore like that. It's too soft, right? It's too soft. Name a sitcom right now, Stevie, that everyone's tuning into going, this thing's off the map, baby. This is off the map, this show. And I can't anyway. I can't think offhand.
Well, Curb might be it.
Yeah. They're done filming, though, aren't they? Curbs.
They are. But the final season is happening as we speak. They're putting it out on a weekly basis. But, yeah. No, I mean, it's not like stuff of the past has stopped being funny to the majority of the audience out there. It's that we're trying to be sympathetic to the people who've been hurt, offended, triggered in some cases. That's an interesting word, triggered. But the bottom line is offended by the material. And so you try and be sympathetic to that. But the reality is it didn't really stop being funny per se.
Right. Chappelle is one of the last holdouts, you know, for I don't give an F. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it's funny. It's funny. Is it offensive? 100% to some people. But he's like, it's a joke. You know, it's a joke. But the times, they have a change, Stevie.
Oh, they are a changer, right?
They have a change. So maybe, I don't know, Ricky Gervais was a great show, Afterlife, that I remember going, here we go. Now, like, you know, this is where Ricky was calling one of his fellow staff members fat. You know?
Right, right.
And it's like, go watch Afterlife if you haven't seen it. And,
everything Ricky Gervais pretty much does turns to gold. He's just one of those guys that even now, like whether it's the Golden Globes and assaulting basically everybody verbally who's in attendance or just his stand-up. I don't know if you've seen any of his stand-up. It's like not many people are getting away with that anymore. It's guys like him and Bill Burr. They have this way about them. They kind of they have a charm about them that allows them to say stuff that most people can't get away with.
Yeah.
And at the crux of it all, I think they're brilliantly smart people too.
Yeah. What's his name too was he kind of went sideways with some
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. Yeah. He was kind of the original of when before Bill Burr came along and even Chappelle at that time had dropped out of sight for a while, but anyway, interesting, right?
Did you ever see that conversation that it was Seinfeld, Gervais, Chris Rock, and Louis C.K., the four of them talking about comedy?
I think I did.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's very much worth watching because they talk about the evolution of why things work and why their careers have done well and comparing notes on life as not just comedians, but among four of the very, very best.
Right.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Moving on, though, let's get back to some sports talk here. And What else did I have for you today, James? You had said a couple of things along. I know here in town in Ottawa, everybody's a little worried about one Josh Norris. This guy just cannot stay healthy. In the last, I don't know, 5 years, this guy has had something like, I don't know, five extended periods out with a shoulder problem, and he got hurt again last night or 2 nights ago.
Right.
And this is a guy that's going to make, he has 6 years left on his contract, worth almost $8 million a year. I feel bad for the kid that he can't seem to stay healthy, but then I just said those numerical numbers about being set for life like that. Mm-hmm. And he's still in better shape than most people, but it is a disappointment for him because he was just starting to get it back and get his confidence back. Because you know it is, if you have a big shoulder injury and it keeps repeating itself, you stop playing the same way. You start being careful out there.
Right.
And what's more killer for a hockey player than being thinking about your health and worried about it? Oh, I don't want to go on the DL again. You're just not the same player anymore. And so it took half the season for him to kind of get some confidence going. And then all of a sudden he gets that confidence. He starts to play well. He starts going in areas where he maybe wasn't earlier in the year. And that's kind of the part of the reason why he got hurt. He kind of stuck his nose in between the Ottawa net and the puck carrier, and the puck carrier kind of cut him off into the Ottawa net, and down he went.
Right.
And now he's out for an extended period of time. Very tough news for Josh Norris.
Here's the deal, Stevie, with that. Here's the other problem. Okay. The obvious is just what you said, right? Like, you got a shoulder injury, you're going to protect it a little bit. You're not going to turn as hard to that side. You know, you're always going to go in the boards with the other shoulder, and,
yeah,
and you know, you're going to protect yourself, right? It's just, you know, you can only take so much pain. You know, like in your beer league, Stevie, right? If you told the guys, listen, I got a hammy or something, or right, or I got a, you know, the guy's going to stay away, right? They're
going to.
The thing about the NHL is not only is that not going to happen, they're going to target it, right?
Oh, so, yeah, for sure. Fuck.
It's just like, wait, they got to be really, boys, really? You know, it's like, yeah, it's the show, baby. It's the show, right? So you're sitting there trying to rehab, going, okay, this feels okay here when I'm in the, you know, on the gym floor there, rolling around on a ball or something with a rubber band, doing my rehab and stretches. I'll be back in four games.
Yeah.
Mark that on your calendar, okay? Mark that on your calendar, you poor prick. So,
to your point, I think you probably have a third of the league that would, you know, not make a point not to run that shoulder or whatever, wherever the injury is.
Right.
But there's especially the greasy rats out there like Nick Cousins or Brad Marchand. Like, they'd get a chainsaw out and go after that, you know, right, whatever weakness it is there. That's just, it is unfortunate. And it's too bad because it seemed like he was kind of over it. Okay. He's accepted that it's healthy and solid again. Even at the same time, he had that kind of KT tape all over his shoulder.
Right.
That was always a bit of a red flag for me that maybe it wasn't all the way back, because he had surgery 1 year ago, and that was his second in 5 years, and he's had lots of stints with the same left shoulder injury on the DL over the last couple of years. So anyway, it is what it is. And in that game, this injury happened against Nashville on Tuesday. Something happened that has never happened in the history of the Ottawa Senators. And it just was like, okay, there's...
All right, finally some good news here.
Yeah, no.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, they played pretty well last week. They had four games where they played top teams and they got 7 of 8 points. People were going, okay, they're under Jacques Martin. Now they're cooking again, and now they're figuring things out, defensive details. And then they go into Washington, get thumped 6-3, and then they go into Nashville the next night. And not only do they lose the game 4-1, they accomplish something they've never done before, and that's get zero shots in a period. In the history of the Ottawa Senators.
Accomplished something. Yeah.
They've never done that. They got outshot. And keep in mind, Jim, that they're down in the hockey game in the third period. What else do you have to do but go and try and get some shots on goal? No, they're down in the hockey game, and they got outshot 20-0 in the third period. Ay, caramba.
Poor coach, Stevie. Poor coach, right? Jacques Gorion going, okay, listen, we got to just refocus. We've done it well. We got the 7 out of the 8 points. And so I just want to refocus. Okay, let's make sure we cycle that puck. Let's dump it in deep. Maybe a little chip and chase. Maybe a strong forecheck. Okay, those are the 5-6 things I'd like to concentrate on. You guys good? Got it. So after the game. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot the other thing. Let's get that puck towards the net.
Okay? Yeah. That's, maybe just like, maybe if you even just like kick it over there, you know, maybe the other team will accidentally knock the puck on their own net, something. Yeah. That's really, and when you think about it, when you're down in a hockey game, it really is kind of hard to believe that you couldn't have just, you know, iced the puck one time on net or something. It just,
yeah, right.
So
totally.
Everybody's kind of shocked by that. Totally. But it's going to be interesting on Friday because, so the Sens have that. Kind of hanging over their head right now, and they've got a bunch of injuries as well. But now Arizona's coming to town. The Arizona Coyotes have now lost. I think they're playing tonight, so it's Thursday night, and they're taking on the Leafs.
Right.
But prior to that game, they had lost 13 games in a row, and so this could be a real battle of Titans on Friday night between the Sens and the Arizona Coyotes. Yeesh.
You forgot the chase part, guys. You know, when I said chip, and the guy said, I just chipped. I don't know. That's what Jacques told me. Just chip, yeah.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Ottawa area, I recommend the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Glenn helped our family sell a home a few years ago. He set aside a budget to help us out with painting, cleaning, and even updating our ceiling lights for us. We got multiple offers, and the home sold for well over asking price. Call the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team today at glennwalton.com.
What are you going to do? I was thinking you might be a great candidate for this new job they've created in the city of Ottawa.
Yes.
They've never had it before. So you got Mark Sutcliffe, our former radio colleague, is now the mayor of the city of Ottawa. And now they're looking into hiring a night mayor.
Uh-oh.
Like not nightmare. Course. Not nightmare, but yeah. A night mayor. And that's a tidy six-figure salary. And the idea, and I hate when people say crap like this. When I hear people from Ottawa say stuff like that, I immediately go, you know what? You should just get the fuck out of Ottawa if this is how you feel. The line is
what they say.
Well, it's basically six figures a year for the night mayor, and the job mandate or job role is to develop the city's nightlife economy and try and shake off the reputation we have as the town that fun forgot. I hate when people say that. It bugs me. As someone who's from here, I despise it.
The town that fun forgot. Let me at that job. You know. I'll just race around the market and hand out flaps of blow, maybe a Mickey or two here and there. Right, Latana, come on, let's have some fun out here, folks. Yeah, here's some ecstasy, and let's let it rip through the night, you know?
Yeah, no wonder fun forgot Ottawa. It's just apparently that's the fun. I mean, who remembers anything after a night?
Yeah,
like
let's
that?
Get back to some drug abuse and shit like that, you know? Let's rip it up a little, Stevie.
Yeah. I like that.
What is a nightmare going to... What's he going to do? Like, the first night he comes in at 5 after 12, sitting in his office going, okay, what do we got? Yeah, no one's phoning, sir. Why? Well, they're at home in bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're... okay, let's wait till 2 a.m. I'm sure I'll be able to...
I don't think he has to be up all night. It is interesting. I don't know why you need a specific position for this. You'd think this would fall under, I don't know, Ottawa tourism?
Right.
We have Ottawa tourism. The whole website there, it's a fairly, quite a few people who work at Ottawa tourism. Isn't that sort of their existing job? Do we need to create a job for that?
Can we get the Chamber of Commerce on the phone?
Yeah.
Before we go ahead and piss away $100,000? I don't know.
As I was... raising my voice in terms of its tone, I realized I was doing the Jon Stewart thing where he sometimes says, I don't know if you had a chance to see him, but he's been back for a couple of weeks now on The Daily Show on Monday nights. And man, he has just not lost a beat. He has not lost his fastball one bit. To see him absolutely eviscerate Tucker Carlson.
I did.
For his trip over to Russia to interview Putin. Oh my God, that was funny.
Yeah, I did see that.
He's a classic for sure. Okay, let me see here. Do you have anything else on your plate today that you wanted to get off your chest?
Let me look, man. Hang on.
You'd send me a couple of things. I was like, when you sent it, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it. Like you sent me a headline that read, "Breaking down the crowded trade deadline NHL goalie market." And I'm thinking, does Jim really want to talk about that?
Well, the reason I sent it, there's a photograph.
Uh-huh.
So there's the Habs goalie, Flames. Looks mm-hmm. like... Is that Tampa on the right? Are they Tampa going to get rid of their goalie?
Oh,
Not a chance.
No, I think that's Columbus's goalie, and I think Merzlikins.
Right, and the reason I sent it to you is you're going to look at that picture, and then the story. You know, there's a photograph with the story breaking down the crowded. Is what people don't understand, Steve? Okay, when they're looking at these trades, that all three of those guys uh-huh. spend a bunch of time with the Minnesota North Stars, Stevie.
It's something about the tone in your voice. I can hear it coming. It's weird.
I know. I see a lean back. The pit bull is still got his claws into that.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
I don't know. I threw you a little bone. I didn't know what you wanted.
No, it's good. I just I didn't know what you wanted to do with that. But
the other one, Stevie. You know, the guys have been charged. The junior players, of course, the stories have been out there. So they've made one decision about. That they're going to be tried by a jury,
mm-hmm.
okay? The five players.
Well, they chose that, and so that's their right.
Yeah, and I think they're trying them all at the same time. And how is that going to work, Steve? So you got five guys there, and you know, yada yada yada, you know, cross examination, the whole proceedings of the court takes whatever the case will take for. So then you go well. Well, Bobby is more complicit in this thing than the other four.
Right.
So do they just, I guess do they give him different sentences? Do they give him different, I don't know.
That's my first thought too.
How do you do it?
The London police believe all are guilty, but it's difficult to believe that on a scale of 1 to 10, they're guilty at the same level per se. Maybe they are. I have no idea. I have no idea. None whatsoever. But in cases like these, there's often, you know, a patient zero, effectively a guy who's kind of the ringleader. And then there's usually a follower at the bottom of the food chain. Don't know one way or the other, but it does right. seem well, odd to me that if someone perceives themselves to be, you know, less guilty than that guy up there, you probably would want to kind of distance yourself from that guy.
Well, what if it is, Stevie, where they go, yes, it they're trying them all at the same time, okay? And so you think, so I mean, it's one guilty verdict. They all serve the same time or do it the same penalty. And they go, no. When they do finish, this guy will get that sentence. This guy will get that. This guy won't, yada, yada, yada. So if you know that and you're one of the suspects here, Stevie, and you know that, going, you may get longer or shorter than the other guy.
Okay. Right.
So let's think about that, Steve, when you take the stand now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going, by the way, the other four guys did this mm-hmm. and not me. I just see it as a shit show. I don't know how. Anyway, I'm not.
I honestly didn't know until you said it that they were all being tried together.
I think they are. It might be a segment begging for Macromella.
Right. Right. Yeah. What we do know is they've chosen a jury, and I think, I mean, the reason behind that is I think a jury is more swayable potentially than going without
right.
a jury. That would right. be my guess. You're dealing with laymen when you're dealing with a jury, and so they obviously believe that that is their best course of action, and so that is what they have chosen in what continues to be a very ugly story and stain on the sport of hockey.
Yeah.
Let us take our leave, ladies and gentlemen. We really appreciate you being here. And don't forget that our website is stevewproject.com. What do you got going on tonight, James? What's happening?
Stevie, I I'm working out. You're not even going to believe this.
Working. You're already, I'm working. You've already blown it.
I'm out. I'm working on my website.
Okay.
With my daughter doing different things.
Okay.
So she hung up on me, Steve. And you've been down that road with me about trying to push buttons. And so I said, yeah, let's do this. And she goes, okay, Dad, I need you to be patient. Okay? I said, guaranteed, Sid. Guaranteed. I think the over-under on it, Stevie, was about 3.5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, you need to stop that right now. She's made a nice website for you. Now hire somebody else.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're going, I've heard you, because she's taken over from me as the producer of the Suspendables. And in the kind of interim transition period, I've jumped on line with you. And your daughter is perfectly savvy when it comes to internet stuff. And you're in there as well. And I can hear like the steam coming out of her ears every time you try and talk to her about this or that. So for the good of your relationship with your daughter, I want you to terminate what you're doing there and working on this project together on the website.
Thank you. Yeah. Where were you just before I talked to her?
All right. We'll talk soon.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.